640 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Matt Piper in New York. Federal regulators are working at this hour to find a buyer for First Republic Bank. Shares have plummeted as people withdraw deposits from the California institution. California Democrat Ro Khanap says he's working on new bank legislation.
Look, pay a fee and have some guarantee on these deposits, because otherwise, what's going to happen? Regional banks, they're going to be insecure, or people are going to be concerned, and they're going to start to consolidate into the top banks. And you have a lot of these payroll companies telling these companies to move to the bank.
Now to Texas, where police say they have no leads in the hunt for a man who opened fire on neighbors after they say they asked him to stop shooting his gun in the front yard.
The FBI is now involved in the search for 38-year-old Francisco Oropeza. Law enforcement say he killed five of his neighbors Friday night. One of the victims was 8 years old. FBI Special Agent James Smith says the suspect is considered armed and dangerous.
He is out there and he's a threat to the community, and we need the community's help.
The FBI recovered Oropeza's cell phone, abandoned clothes, and rifle used in the shooting. Chris Fox for CBS News, Austin.
From coast to coast, flooding is a concern for millions of people. Here in New York, there's been a flood warning for hours, and it's so far been extended for another 2 hours from now. CBS News meteorologist David Parkinson takes a look at the threat on the West Coast.
The good news, at least in California near Yosemite, the park is back open. It was closed all weekend long for fear of flooding. That has not materialized, but the snow melt is definitely happening, and that's going to continue for the next several days, even though temperatures will begin to decline as we go through the week, and there could actually even be more rain for the West Coast, pretty rare for May, as we go into the middle of the week.
Residuals for streaming shows and the potential use of artificial intelligence to write scripts, just a few of the issues that could cause the stars to dim in Hollywood. Correspondent Elise Preston has the latest on a potential strike by TV and movie writers.
Your favorite late night shows could go dark in just a matter of days as the clock ticks in Tinseltown before the contract between the Writers Guild of America and major studios expires.
And that expires in 24 hours. A water rescue in Texas. On Saturday afternoon, the U.S. Coast Guard Air Station Houston received a call about a surfer in need of rescue. They were told the 20-year-old was pushed offshore by 8-foot seas and 34 mile per hour winds. Footage of the rescue posted online shows a Coast Guard diver being lowered on a wire from that helicopter and hoisting him out of the water. This is CBS News.
Need to hire quality candidates fast? You need Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com.
News brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, your personal injury attorneys with over 35 years of experience. GTWLawyers.com. They're all in to win.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Here's what you need to know. There's no word yet why a train derailed in southwest Wisconsin yesterday. 4 people were injured. As many as 20 cars left the tracks near DeSoto. Some of the cars were carrying paint, batteries, and oxygen containers. Governor Evers says he's been briefed. Local governments in Wisconsin could get 20% of all state sales tax income in the future. That's under a new shared revenue plan unveiled by legislative Republicans, Representative Tony Kurtz.
So if the state does well, our locals are going to do well. And I think that's a key point.
Details are expected next week. In sports, Iowa linebacker Lucas Van Ness is the Green Bay Packers' first pick in the NFL draft. The Brewers host the Angels tonight. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Accidents can be life-changing, no matter how careful you are. But with Gingras Thompson & Wachs, you're not alone. For decades, they've been fighting for the rights of people just like you. They'll let you focus on your recovery while they handle the legal complexities. If you or a loved one has been hurt or killed due to someone else's negligence, contact them now. You may deserve compensation.
All in to win. Gingras Thompson & Wachs. GTWLawyers.com.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off. This is it.
Scobody boom boom. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
Should parents outside of a school district, they do not have kids in that school district, they don't even live in that school district as a resident, be able to contribute to school board meetings? 844-967-2789. So if you're a parent or a concerned citizen, is it your right, no matter what off-the-wall thing you would like to say, to contribute at a public meeting for a school board? And I ask because there was an incident that kind of starts like a bad joke.
Seriously.
I think the joke would start something like this. A mom walks into a school board meeting with a dildo, a fake vagina, and a righteous attitude.
I love it.
I don't know what the punchline is yet, but it is both sounds like a joke and yet is not. Unfortunately, it is something that has happened in Wisconsin this week. Conservative activist Alexandra Schweitzer, who is the head of Parents on Patrol and No Left Turn in Education Wisconsin, shocked those attending a Merton school board meeting earlier this week by bringing props.
Yes.
So she pulled out sex toys while testifying before the board. And so she used, and I still don't fully grasp this. Dan Bice wrote this up. It's been talked about on Twitter. I've had some people send me the clips of this. I think we have a clip of it. So let's just play that.
This is courtesy of WISN TV.
This is the moment one woman at a Merton school board meeting pulled out a couple of props that shocked the room.
So let's look at the toys.
This has nothing to do with her.
But this is exactly what you guys are censoring for this.
Merton School District took down their usual recording of Monday's board meeting, reposting a heavily redacted version Tuesday. But cell phone video 12 News obtained shows the sensitive topic in full, though we have blurred the items she's holding.
Why is it inappropriate for a group of adults? Why is it inappropriate? This is for 8th graders.
What does Tulsa have anything to do with this meeting?
Exactly. So it's kind of hard. It's, you know, this is cell phone footage, so it's kind of hard to tell everything that's going on. She's the parent who brought the props is clearly fired up, but it's also the fact that she is talking about, she's at a Merton school board district. She lives in Oconomowoc, and she's talking about a sex ed curriculum in Wauwatosa.
Yeah.
And so the whole thing kind of feels like, what? Are you in the right place? Are you lost? Like, what's happening right now? And so the question... And so basically she got cut off after 3 minutes, but I think that's standard practice at some of these public meetings. You only have so long to talk. Otherwise everyone's going to be there forever.
Seriously. If you don't have a limit, there are certain people who will never stop.
And so she ended by saying, I will let my lawyers know that you are denying me my free speech, which again, I don't think it's an infringement of your free speech when there are rules set up for public forums and like they let her talk whatsoever. But my thing is, as we are seeing, so her groups that she is a member of is going back, No Left Turn in Education, Parents on Patrol. These sound like similar groups to Moms for Liberty.
Yes.
And, you know, the Righteous Brigade of trying to protect children from inappropriate things at school, like, should it extend to school districts outside of your community? Like, is this fair game? 844-967-2789. And I think you should be allowed to talk. I don't think it's like you shouldn't be allowed to talk, but it just feels like a waste of everybody's time.
Well, and why should this person, who again does not live in this school district, does not have children attending this school district, certainly she can say her piece, but I don't know why that would carry any weight.
And that's what, so several parents during the meeting were criticizing her because she doesn't live in the district. She doesn't have children there. She was talking about something that was happening in Wauwatosa. And I guess she was there defending
a board member.
A board member who had been, I guess it was censured or something for online bullying and using the C word, which twice this week, Tucker and, I mean, who do you think he learns it from? No, I'm just, kind of a joke. And you know, what's so interesting about this is yesterday on Twitter, Wisconsin Right Now went after her. And it was interesting to see, I mean, I could actually give them respect, Wisconsin Right Now being a conservative media outlet in Wisconsin. And they had it in like a whole Twitter thread saying not only was she wrong to do this, but also that you're giving the left fodder for us to make us look bad by doing things like this. And, you know, getting into the actual actions is kind of beyond. It's funny to make fun of just because showing up at a school board meeting with sex toys is a hilarious sight. But it's also like, because there's a bigger movement happening that is in Wisconsin, that is everywhere, where, and this was one of the quotes from John Norcross from, this is from a Dan Bice article documenting the whole thing. And he said he found her behavior shocking, but not surprising. And he said that since the pandemic, the Milwaukee suburban districts have been besieged by agitators such as her group. They staged stunts like this one we saw in Burton in order to manufacture outrage and evoke an emotional reaction. In the end, it serves to undermine public schools and sow distrust of educators, all through misinformation and theatrics. If someone genuinely wanted to change TOSA's sex ed curriculum, you wouldn't go about it by showing up at a school board meeting in a separate district and pulling out sex toys to make your point. And so that's what I want to come back to, because it's not just this one incident. It's not just these groups. Vice has an article this week titled, "A Far-Right Moms Group is Terrorizing Schools in the Name of Protecting Kids." And I just, what are the limitations that people are willing to put on school board meetings to mitigate what is starting to sound like harassment in some cases?
Absolutely. And I personally believe that this is part of a larger drive to kill public education. That is the goal, I think, of some of these far-right groups. They want to kill public education and only send kids to religious schools.
Well, I don't know if it's because they only want to send kids to. I think there is a bigger. I don't want to go so far as saying conspiracy theory, since this you just said that this is what you believe. But you know what is the actual push? Because there's not you're not the only one person who thinks that there is a legion of folks out there who want to ruin public schools, right? There's people who genuinely believe that. And I always come back to what is the motivation for that? And it's money.
Oh,
if that is true, it's money, because there's money to be made in sending kids to private schools and private, like any kind of privatization always means there's someone who can make a profit from it.
But it's also about indoctrination. From my perspective, I went to a Catholic school. So I think it's about killing public education and getting children into religious schools to be indoctrinated.
And but projecting what they're at, like, because right now they're projecting that they are being indoctrinated by the left.
Exactly.
And all of this inclusive,
yes,
emotionally responsive,
diversity,
critical race theory. But is it not? Because I don't, it's still a fringe group, right? I mean, it's a growing movement. So in talking about just Moms for Liberty, which it sounds like this is one big group, but there is multiple that have sprung up similar to it. But it's, you know, they've targeted teachers, administrators, parents, and school board members, orchestrating harassment campaigns that have left people fearing for their safety, and in some cases, their lives. And so some of this includes, there's one case that the Vice article talks about that is in Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Police had to be called to a school board meeting after members of a Moms for Liberty accused attendees of being groomers and wanting to show explicit pictures to children. And then they go on to list some other examples of in Pennsylvania, the leader of a local Moms for Liberty chapter allegedly hijacked a dead woman's Facebook page to harass her enemies, including using the N-word and saying they should hang from a noose.
Well, that's lovely.
In Arkansas, the head of communications at the Lenoak County chapter said that librarians should be, quote, plowed down with a freaking gun. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, a member of a local Moms for Liberty chapter harassed an opposing group, threatened to report them for child abuse, and called them pedophile sympathizers. And in Charleston, South Carolina, a Moms for Liberty affiliated member of the local school board publicly stated he would show up at his son's teacher's doorstep with a gun if the teacher came out as transgender. And so, you know, and I want to be careful because I understand, like, when we have people like Sarah Harrison on and Dave Durgenberg to talk about the stuff going on in Waukesha and parents who are on the opposite side of this debate of the culture inclusivity conversation, you know, and they do disruptive things and trying to get attention, trying to get media attention and bring light to stuff. But this feels like the difference is harassment. Right? The difference is violent threats.
Yes.
And harassment. And so we have to go to our first break. But again, I come back to, should parents outside of a school district be able to contribute to those school board meetings? And I guess the separate question is, how do we mitigate harassment from some of these pretty like violent and outrageous groups?
Now we're picking on librarians, people. Give me a break.
Poor librarians. 844-967-2789. This is As Goes Wisconsin, and we'll be right back.
Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
The Devil's Advocates, the fix for political junkies everywhere.
You recall the Capitol insurrection? A post-ABC news poll showed 54% said Trump should be criminally charged for inciting the riot. That's like a litany of criminal allegations against the former president. You can say it's all partisanship and a witch hunt, but there wasn't one credible accusation against Obama during his entire eight-year term. So how Republicans just ignore all the evidence? I mean, he was perpetrating a coup on multiple levels.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. By the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Overcast overnight, with rain becoming mixed precipitation. Lows around 35. Northwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Mixed precipitation likely again tomorrow. Highs level off around 43. Overcast skies. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night. Lows around 35. A dusting of snow overnight through tomorrow.
For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM. Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinair. And we are talking about parents showing up at school board meetings where they do not have children and sometimes doing theatrical demonstrations to try to prove a point or stoke outrage. And not in the local situation that happened in the Merton School Board District this year. I wouldn't say this necessarily. I wouldn't categorize this as harassment, but it's part of a bigger trend of some of these groups, Moms for Liberty being one of the main ones, of threatening violence and actually harassing people. And how do we deal with this? How do we put a kibosh on this? Because this is not, one, a good use of anyone's time, or two, I don't think it's necessary. I mean, what is the goal?
844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY, which is much easier to remember. Tom from West Dallas has been very patient. Thank you, Tom. What do you want to say?
Hi there. Curious, how real is this that she's saying that they introduced a sex toy into an eighth grade sex ed class or what have you? I mean, when I was in sixth grade, I vaguely remember us seeing some drawings and stuff and pointing out things. You know, it was nothing, oh my God, I mean, this is stuff we all needed to know or should have known. Is this like the litter box thing where, oh, there's litter boxes in schools for these transgender furry kids, which was completely debunked. And I think to get rid of that, if this didn't happen, then Merton Schools needs to put out a statement saying this is untrue. This never, ever happened. And so, this Tom, person is making this up.
Well, it's not. They're not totally making it up, because she said it when she was at the Merton School Board District. She was saying this was happening in Wauwatosa. And then Sarah Ellis, who's a spokeswoman for Wauwatosa Schools, said that in Wauwatosa's new eighth grade curriculum, they have a lesson which does include a wooden penis model and a plastic model of a uterus that are accompanying reproductive anatomy. And so they use it for anatomy lessons. It's not like a silicone sex toy that was bought on like adamandeve.com. And so it's like a little different as far as what's actually being used.
Well, and
right. Okay. But like I said, what is wrong with that? So, I mean, oh my God, it's a wooden diagram of something, the humanity of it all, you know?
Totally, Tom. You're talking to someone who spent time as a sexual health educator. You're preaching to the choir.
Thank you.
I mean, real quick, one other thing. Missouri has a budget surplus like we do, but more. And Missouri's Republican legislators did not approve a $1,000 raise for all their teachers.
That's why I said too, Tom, I really feel like there are groups that are gunning for public education, and I think it's frightening. We have Derek from TOSA on the line. Derek, thank you. What do you want to say?
Hello. Public education has been under assault for many, many, many years, both overtly and covertly. And it's a big pot of money that they want to take from and give to their friends in the choice schools and the parochial schools. We already pay for those kids partially. It's not right. But as far as the meetings, I believe Congressman Sensenbrenner used to do this. You'd go to his meetings, and if you're in Waukesha, he would only allow the people from Waukesha. You'd have to fill out your name and maybe your question that you were going to ask and where you lived, and they would go through it and sort it by people that lived in the city first, and only if every single person from that city had spoken would the people from out of town be able to say something. That was how he handled it. Now, he was a bit of a, corporal kind of guy, but and it was to control his crowds because he wasn't popular at the time. But it would work on the flip side, too.
I think that's smart. I think you prioritize. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, in West Dallas, years and years ago, I believe that basically this whole circus stuff is really desperate times for them because their crusade is floundering. I mean, in Wauwatosa, speaking of Wauwatosa, I live in Wauwatosa, and this same crusade came through here with the quote-unquote Three Dads campaign. Yeah. And they wiped the floor with them, basically. They got booted out of here. So all these other people are jealous that we get this curriculum that they don't get, is I think what's really going on. Because the righty-tighty-whities like that, my theory has long been that they're miserable people. They're the indoctrinated, they're trapped in their faith and whatever it is, so they're miserable. They want everyone else to be just as miserable as they are. And nothing else drives them nuts more than seeing people actually thinking freely and not living miserably, so that their drive is to make everyone else as miserable as them. And I'm wondering, last thought, is that now that, Dobbs happened and Roe v. Wade's been overturned, those folks that walked outside of Planned Parenthood's kind of out of jobs now. So is that what they're doing now? They're going to the city meetings and the school meetings instead? Is that what they're doing to kind of fill their time now?
You might be onto something there, Derek. That is not bad. Thank you so much for calling. We're running up against the clock. We had Jack from Merrimack joining us. Thanks, Jack. What do you want to say?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, your previous caller's comment reminds me of the old definition of a Puritan, which is a person that has the extreme fear that somewhere someone may be having fun. I thought you might appreciate that. But what totally amazes me is the number of untrained people who are trying to decide various things for people that have got a lot of training.
Yes.
We've got judges that are overruling the FDA in terms of drug safety. We've got people in governorship or school boards that are banning classes or telling people what they should teach in class. I taught high school, and actually I taught all grade levels from 6th through second year college. For about 40 years, I taught in public, private, parochial schools. And I had people still towards the end of my career trying to tell me, for instance, I should be teaching creationism in a biology class.
Oh, man.
These are people that they don't understand. Teachers,
Jack, I got to cut you off just because we're coming up against a break, but thank you so much for the call. We're going to keep this going. So if you have thoughts on school boards and how to mitigate some of the theatrics, 844-967-2789, and we'll be right back.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
CBS News brief. The clock is ticking till the financial markets open, and regulators are hoping to find a buyer for First Republic Bank before trading begins. IBM Vice Chairman Gary Cohn was on Face the Nation.
The FDIC would prefer to sell the bank in its entirety than the pieces. What will most likely happen is the FDIC will seize control and then simultaneously resell the asset to the successful bidder.
Officials increased the reward to $80,000 to find the person who killed five neighbors in Texas, including an eight-year-old boy. FBI Special Agent James Smith.
We're asking everyone for your help till we can bring this suspect, or this monster, I will call him, to justice.
Possible tornado hits Virginia Beach. Stephen Kick says winds knocked down trees and caused damage.
The trees, there's such, you know, beautiful, older, bigger trees, and they were gone. Like, I could see over into the next neighborhood perfectly.
Reports that as many as 100 homes were damaged. CBS News Brief, I'm Matt Piper.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matt Mayer. Here's what you need to know. Two railway cars ended up in the Mississippi River after a freight train derailed on Thursday. It happened near DeSoto in Crawford County. The cars floated downstream but got stuck along the shore after passing under the Wisconsin Highway 82 bridge. Officials say the batteries on board are contained and don't pose a threat to the public. At least four employees were hurt. The cause is under investigation. A new proposal looking for a co-sponsor in the Wisconsin legislature would allow victims of child sexual abuse to file civil suits until the age of 45 instead of capping the age at 35. The Child Victims Act, however, does not allow those over 45 to file suit, something that victims and advocates have been requesting for years. I'm Jane Matinere. This is Civic Media News.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Outside of a school district be able to contribute at a school board meeting? 844-967-2789. Or alternatively, what should we do as far as the theatrics that have been happening when it comes to school board meetings and intimidation that borders on harassment for what's happening in libraries and schools and for teachers? Actually, later today, we're talking to Jennifer Kermerud, who is a director at the Department of Public Instruction. to talk about a report that came out earlier this year, the Education Preparation Program and Workforce Analysis Report. And we're going to talk about the teacher workforce and how it's in decline.
Yes.
And kind of the different layers of the funnel of enrollment of to the program, completion of the program, teachers who get their license but don't actually teach, and then how quickly people are leaving the profession. Because this is a problem. This is a huge, huge problem. And I don't have evidence of this, or I don't have data of this beyond anecdotes, but it's part of the reason that teachers are not teaching is because of parents being crazy.
Well, that's like Jack from Merrimack just said, he was being pressured to teach creationism in science class.
That's, it's like they wrote a play on this. This is actually, we've already like done this whole thing.
That sounds vaguely familiar, Kristen Bryant.
Stokes Monkey Trial was a while ago.
It was. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Easier to remember, 414, checking in with a text. You're right, Jane. It's all about charter schools. All of it driven by the DeVos family. It's very Googleable. And I agree. Betsy DeVos's family has been into charter schools for ages. She was put as the head of education to kill public education. Also, Atlantic did a good story on GOP-backed Moms for Liberty pre-November in an effort to appeal to suburban women who were on the fence because of Roe.
Oh, that's interesting.
Isn't it?
I wonder who's funding them. I'm sure that's Googleable as well. I just have not looked enough into it as far as like where their actual backing is coming from, because, you know, they've grown and they've grown pretty quickly as far as their, I think in the Vice article, it was 110,000 members and over almost 265 chapters across the country. In Wisconsin specifically, I think it looked more, I didn't see any. Although they referenced the issue that happened in a Milwaukee suburb. So, but it sounds like there's other groups that have popped up that aren't necessarily called Moms for Liberty.
Oh, definitely. There are offshoots, but as we've talked about before, this is a very coordinated effort by some to, again, our poor librarians, our poor school board members. What a sexy job that is anyway, being on the school board. And now we're just going to harass them and until they flee. It's tragic. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Karina from Milwaukee joining us, goes Wisconsin. What do you want to say, Karina?
Well, guys, I want to say that American education is obviously a cultural shock for me, because when my son started school here, I was shocked of the way it actually been taught to children, because it seems to be that you're moving from one school to another and the curriculum has changed. And it's so strange for me, because, look, it's a one country, right? So if my son is in Wisconsin, he should have the same program as anywhere else, because he wants to go to college anywhere else. So if I live in Wisconsin and I don't have a curriculum, what I need to get into college, what kind of education is that? Why are we teaching whatever if the kids cannot use it in the future?
But
this is my point.
But this is where it comes down to local control, Karina, and states' rights. And there's always been a fight against, right, federal guidelines for education, although we have a Department of Education, so they do issue some.
Right. So I'm saying that the guidelines should come from the federal education, because it's the one country. People move around. People get into the colleges in a different state, and you cannot. It's wrong. It's just wrong altogether. You're not giving kids a correct amount of knowledge and skills to be able to go outside of the state and enroll itself in the program and be adequate. This is why they're dropping first year like a flight. because they're not capable of actually connecting the dots.
Thank you so much, Karina. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Asking you if parents who don't belong to that school district have no kids within that school district, should they be able to show up at a school board meeting and say their piece? 262 says, as a parent, I'm okay with public having space to share their thoughts, regardless of how uncomfortable there might be. There's a man in Waukesha who's called librarians pedophiles. While I fervently disagree with him, it is his First Amendment right. The best part is it makes for some great TikToks, just like this woman in Merton. Also, logistically, people outside of the boundaries of a district should be able to speak. Sometimes you will get a grandparent or a teacher who lives outside the district who wants to share their thoughts. I can see that being valid.
And I liked what, was it Derek that said, that Sessenbrenner used to like just prioritize the people who actually live in the district first. And I think that seems like a good rule as far as you know, the people who are voting for the school board, the people who have kids in that district, at least get to be heard first. I think that seems like a good rule. Cause like, and that's why I didn't want to, I think when I first wrote the prompt, I said, should be allowed to speak. And I feel like that's a bad way to put it because yes, of course you should be allowed to speak, but it's also, and I don't know how you go about, you know, unless the individual case crosses the line of harassment and then you get the police involved, what else you really do when things feel, or you publicly shame them, like this the case in the Merton School District. I just want to know, like, did she already own these things or did she have to go out and buy them? Like, I'm so curious as far as how she went about, like, I'm going to go make this point. I'm going to bring a stink and I need to order this. And if she did have to order it, did she go in person? Did she order online? I just have so many questions for her.
Inquiring minds looking for more details. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. When you go to a lot of common council meetings, you have to state your name and your address before you speak. So, again, 262 says, I wonder if she borrowed them from a friend. Hey, are you using that later?
You know that thing that you have in your drawer next to your bed?
Yeah.
Can I borrow that?
Just for a couple hours. I'll get it right back to you. It'll be fine.
I promise I'm not actually going to use it. I just need it to make a point.
It's for demonstration purposes only.
And I guess I don't know, maybe it is through the court of public opinion, because like I said, Wisconsin right now kind of took her to task on Twitter yesterday,
and Twitter's not
real life as far as how many people are actually on there. And I try to mitigate, I'm on there so much, but even for purposes of this show, knowing that how much the people in our audience are on Twitter and are following and even like give a hoot as far as what's happening. But, you know, for whatever it's worth, they did bring up the conversation instead of just sweeping it under the rug. And I kind of give them credit for it. Cause I think, I don't know, like this brings up a bigger question as far as the theme of the crossroads that the Republicans are at, as far as the cultural stuff that so many people, if anything, this is, instead of bringing people into their line of thinking, I feel like it's ostracizing people who maybe weren't that engaged in the first place.
Well, and that's exactly referring back to one of our texters said about, they ticked off so many women with the Dobbs decision that now they're trying to find side ways to get them back. So, and that requires fear, because fear is very motivational. And so now we're going to scare them about where their kids are going to school, and we're going to scare them about school curriculums, and we're the only ones who are fighting for your children.
But I'm saying more of whether or not this is further ostracizing people, because I'm thinking back of when Sarah and Dave from the Waukesha school parents were in, and those are two parents who were very involved. And I said, as like, you know, when you talk to parents who are not the type of parents that show up at the school boards, they're busy, they have jobs, they just, you know, they kind of send their kids to school and expect everything to be fine. And like in that group, when they hear about some of these shenanigans, how many of them does it, do they like, I agree with that, and they fall in line with the line of thinking of a Moms for Liberty, versus they hear about it and they go, well, that's nuts. And it further takes them out of that group. And so are they doing, are groups like Moms for Liberty or what was it? Parents, education towards the left or anti, no left turn in education.
Right.
It's not a terrible day. I'm just, but you know, for these groups, it's like, you hear about these groups, you're like, I definitely don't want to be associated with that. And so it actually is almost an anti-recruitment tool for them to get more involved and shut this kind of stuff down.
You might be right. And again, this is happening around the country, so it will be interesting to see if they're picking up a lot more adherence. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY if you want to check in. 414 says it's really dangerous when we have the general public, politicians, and school board members trying to determine what's appropriate to be taught at a particular age or grade. With my master's, I have over 7 years in training. That's what's necessary to teach particular courses, and also training in what's appropriate at certain ages. Most people don't have that training, and it's usually people who don't have it who are trying to make changes in curriculums.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the same thing with women's health.
It's women's health, but it also goes back to the conversation we had on Tuesday with the panelists who are going to be on the anti-Semitism and anti-Asian hate that's happening today under Milwaukee Turner's at 12. You know, of like the decisions you make for your kid end at you trying to make decisions for other kids.
Exactly.
And
you don't want your kid to read that book. Don't let him read that book. You don't want your child to have sex education. Then you don't have to have them attend that class, but to end it for everyone because of your choice. That's not very American.
No. And it also is interesting because I was reading and I didn't know if we wanted to go there today or not. So we're not, because I don't know exactly where I'm going to follow the legislation and see where it goes. But it kind of brings back all of the legislation that's popping up across the country and now has been introduced in Wisconsin, which is creating a curfew for kids on social media, which would require the different apps to make alterations and have like a shut off and have parents have access to those social media accounts. And I think the lawmaker who introduced the bill said that, you know, parents have no tools to be able to protect their kids from social media. So the government has to step in, and it's like, they could just not buy them a phone.
There's that.
Like, you could just get your kid a flip phone or a Nokia brick phone that doesn't have access to their own accounts. Like, so it's not like you have no tools. And so it's just, it's like this back and forth on what, where overreach is fine and where it's not.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, we have to wrap up this topic, but thank you for all of your contributions to this. And maybe we'll come back to it later, because we certainly have more conversations around schools and teachers coming up. But when we come back, our director of content for Civic Media is here, Jimmy Costa, because the WIAA, so we're talking about high school sports now, voted on a big thing this week. So we're going to learn about that. Who is it good for? Who is it not good for? So if you care about high school sports, stay tuned. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Devil's Advocates.
Now, we've had Ted Cruz more than once.
He has very slippery hands.
And once in Ishiwaka, Indiana.
He was so desperate, he literally walked into this diner with families eating and shook every single person's hand, whether they wanted him to or not. And some of the kids are like, what?
Bobby! He was invading lots of bubbles. Bobby, make the greasy man go away! I can smell the desperation, Mommy!
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Overcast overnight, with rain likely early, then becoming mixed precipitation. Lows level off around 35. Northwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy tomorrow, a mixture of precipitation likely, 43. Mixed precipitation likely tomorrow night. Lows level off around 35. A dusting of snow overnight through tomorrow. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Metnair. And moving on to another school topic that riles some parents up, school sports, high school sports, and the WIAA, because they voted this week on five different amendments, one of which seems like it will help competition. And so here to tell us more about what the vote is, what the proposal was, and who it's good for is Civic Media's own director of digital content, Jimmy Cuska, on his inaugural As Goes Wisconsin appearance. How you doing, man?
I'm doing awesome. I got to say, I've been listening to the show for a while, since even before I was with Civic Media. So I'm pretty excited today to be part of it.
That's so nice of you, Jimmy.
Thanks. Have you. So I guess just a reminder, let's just like a level set. What is the WIAA?
So the WIAA is the state association. It's comprised of schools, for schools. It's the school association that governs interscholastic competitions. So the tournaments, state finals, all of that. It's all governed by it. I think there's a disassociation sometimes that the WIAA is some big, huge entity that like oversees all the schools, but it's actually the schools of the WIAA. The WIAA is the schools. So that's an important distinction, because a lot of people feel like the rules that come down or things like that's all handed down by some overarching, you know, huge government body or something. But it's a representation of schools is what dictates all the rules in athletic competition.
So it's not just a board of like eight people who've been appointed, like scheming to get their districts like an upper hand.
Well, there are appointees and everything, and there's a board of control. There's executive directors. There's financial components, but no, it's there for the schools, because this is what the schools choose. This is how they choose to govern themselves.
And so this week there was a big vote, and you had kind of alerted it to us, and I know because Don Brown is really involved in Waukesha South. And so we've talked about some of last fall, for example, there was a lot of issues as far as some football teams just ending their season because they were in conferences where they couldn't compete and kids were getting hurt. And so is this the one when we're talking about the competition, is this kind of trying to address that as far as level setting schools so that there's better competition and different schools don't put their kids in situations where they don't win a single game all year?
That's a separate conversation on conference alignments and things, and they do constant ongoing discussion on that. The proposal this week, though, addressed a bigger issue that I think affects mostly smaller and medium-sized schools, and that's since 2000 when private schools became part of the WIAA, when the WISAA, which was the former association for the private schools in the state, it was brought into the WIAA. So now the private schools are members along with the public schools, and since 2000, there's been this I guess resentment's probably the right word for it, by some of the smaller schools, that when their small rural a public school is, you know, going to a state tournament and then they get knocked out in a sectional or a state final by a private school from an urban area. So it became kind of two debates. It kind of became a private versus public school debate and like an urban versus rural school debate. And what this plan was trying to do, it's not a perfect plan. It's modeled after other states. Colorado specifically uses a very similar model to the plan that was approved yesterday. What it's doing is first acknowledging that just enrollment-based divisions and tournaments wasn't the only thing that could cause inequity. They brought this plan forward because they wanted to address some of the other areas where there could be inequity: geography, access to resources, you know, socioeconomics, demographics of the school, things that they can use. So when they start moving teams around divisions under this plan, schools can appeal based on these things. So if they're a small public school that has this one group of kids that comes through, as it happens a lot in small schools, where, you know, a small school like where I'm from, you go and you have a 3-year run where you're great. It helps kind of alleviate that when those kids all graduate and then you're right back to where you traditionally have been, instead of punishing those small schools like that and moving them up. What it's trying to do is trying to level a playing field between schools that have a lot of success and they're going into state tournaments and winning all the time, and then some of the schools that are just kind of one-offs. There was really a lot of the proponents of this, and what they spoke at the annual meeting yesterday, the one person who did speak spoke to this and highlighted some of the differences between their school statistics versus some of the private schools in Northwestern Wisconsin where they're based.
We're talking to Jimmy Cuska, who is the Civic Media Director of Digital Content and also a longtime WIAA sports announcer, so knows a lot about the WIAA. And where does it land now? So this passed, it overwhelmingly passed. And so where does this leave as far as for anyone who has kids in high school? Like, what does this mean for them?
So what it means is that if your school in a specific sport has a lot of success in a 3-year window, you would be moved up a division based on this plan. There's an appeals process to avoid that, especially if you're at a rural school. But what happens starting with the 2024 school year is that if you have a 3-year window that you've had a lot of success now, you move up a division. So that's when it gets implemented. And really, that's the basis for it. That's the amendment we're talking about, the one with the competitive balance plan.
And so that's actually a good, because I think I had even confused that, because there's divisions. So there's Division One, just like their NC2A, right? There's Division One, Two. Does it go up to 4 still?
It depends on the sport. Some have up to 7 in football, but some sports only have 2.
And so, but then that's different than the conferences you play during the year, which is like when I went to Madison West, shout out Regents, and we were in the Big 8. And so we played like Janesville and Sun Prairie and Madison East and stuff like that. So that is a different conversation entirely as far as how competitive the conferences are versus this has to do more with like the state tournament play and the bigger group of schools statewide.
Correct, because the WIAA is the one who governs the tournaments, the state tournaments itself. And again, the rule kind of intended in a way to just kind of make that a step towards making it a more level playing field. I don't think this single-handedly does that, but they've been trying this for years. They had a proposal in 2015 that failed. That was a plan that didn't have an appeals process. This one does, and this one did succeed almost 70%.
Wow. All right. Well, we'll have to keep you on call to come back and keep us posted about as things with sports, whether it's at the high school, college, or pro level. Are you have any feelings quickly before we have to go to the top of our news about the Bucks loss?
One word. Disappointed, but optimistic that it'll be fine in the future. And if you want to learn more about the WIAA proposal, civicmedia.us has it for you.
Perfect. All right. Well, we're going to go to the top of the hour news. And when we come back, we're going to talk to Ashley Lutheran, who's an investigative reporter for Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about her heartbreaking story from earlier this month on a domestic violence case that really was not handled very well. So this is As Goes Wisconsin. Stay with us.
You see on the bubblegum cards, me and homeboy would go one on one, cause playing the game is a lot of fun. Sit by the TV and watch a movie.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.